Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone out. We are tilted to one side here today. So if you see me leaning over a little too heavily, we're just trying to get this boat to level out. So thank you for being here this morning. I see lots of faces I know. I see some I do not know. Either way, it is good to have you. I'm glad that you've taken the time to come and worship God with us. This morning's lesson, I'm going to imagine, if you didn't guess what it was going to be already, that you will not really be surprised by it, but this is the week in which people in North America and people particularly in our country celebrate what we call Thanksgiving. And to me, and this may sound odd to say, Thanksgiving is as close as we come to a religious holiday in this country. Now, I know you're thinking of other holidays that our country observes, but as far as something that we agree, we don't celebrate Easter in the way the world does. We don't celebrate Christmas in the way the world does. But we celebrate Thanksgiving exactly the way the world does, I mean, essentially. We don't do it necessarily as a religious service, although I think we could. But we certainly come in, and when we're trying to, in between all the turkey and the derby pie and the mashed potatoes and the green beans and the crescent rolls and whatever else you have at your house, and then dessert, and then on and on and on, we remember to give thanks to God. The phrase, give thanks, and I found this interesting, the phrase, give thanks, is used 13 times in the New Testament. It is used 59 times in the entire Bible. In the book of Psalms, 34. 34 of the 59 times that the phrase, give thanks, is used, it's in the book of Psalms. So guess what we should be doing, if you think about that context, and you think about what we're doing, shouldn't we be singing praises to God? Yes. Amen, we should. We should be giving thanks to Him on a regular basis. It shouldn't be just something that we do in November. Now, as far as whether you want to have turkey more than that, that's fine with me. In fact, as long as you're having dressing and not stuffing, and if you know the difference, you know what I'm talking about, I'll be over at the house anytime you want. So we're going to be thankful and hopeful this morning and talk about the pilgrims for just a little bit. And you may say to yourself, that's an odd thing to do. Why make such a big deal out of giving thanks to God for harvest? Well, certainly the harvest time was important, but for the original colonists in this country, they had no guarantee they were going to live. In fact, one of the very first English colonies to set sail and land in North America was called the Roanoke Colony. They came back 5 years later. They couldn't find any evidence they'd ever been there. Any evidence they'd ever been there. All the people that were there died. The Mayflower left in 1620, landed on Plymouth Rock, and they began to grow and to survive. In the first winter, out of 102 pilgrims, 45 died. 45. By the time they got to this period of time that we call Thanksgiving, 53 made it. Out of 102, 53 people made it. So when you're thinking about the triviality sometimes that can go along with us talking about turkey and pumpkin pie and all those things, when these people said they were giving thanks, they literally were thanking God they were alive. God had kept them alive. They had been able to survive one whole year, build buildings. With the help of the local Indians, they had been able to plant food that would grow, and they had survived and they had made it. Harvest time, we're not as tied to agriculture as we used to be, but the seasons of planting and growing, but by the time you get to this point in the year, you should have everything canned. If you don't, you're in trouble. But this is finally the time of the year when you can take a day or two and relax. You've gone through the planting in the summer, and you finally harvested, and hopefully, the old saying is, the hay's in the barn. So a lot of cultures have harvest festivals. This harvest festival is exactly what it grew out of, but the early pilgrims knew to give the credit to God for that harvest and for that survival. So as we think about this period of time, let us remember to give thanks to God. And it is right to give thanks to God. In fact, it is wrong not to. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 1. We could sit here and say, well, he's making too much of a secular holiday. No, we're not making too much of a secular holiday. In fact, the Bible would tell us we don't make enough. God tells us through Paul in Romans chapter 1, one of the reasons the Gentiles have been cast away by God and were sent out and were not the chosen people of God is they did not give thanks to God. They did not give thanks. So if God tells us that one of the reasons the Gentiles are in sin is they did not give thanks, what should the opposite be? We certainly need to take it seriously. Let's read Romans 1, verse 21 through 25. Romans 1, verses 21 through 25. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Many of us know Romans chapter 1 because it has this terrible description of all these sins of the flesh, including homosexuality between both men and women. How did they get there? It is not wrong to say that you end up with homosexuality when you fail to thank God for the things that you have. This is exactly what Paul says. This acronym I stole from a preacher named Jimmy Allen, but I thought it was a really good way to remember some of the problems of the Gentiles. The problem with the Gentile was not homosexuality. The problem with the Gentiles was not drunkenness. The problem with the Gentiles is they didn't put God in His place and give thanks to Him. So guess what can happen to us? You might sit here and say, well, that would never happen to us. If we fail to honor God, thank God, acknowledge God, if we exchange God for idols, we'll end up in the same place. The acronym is HATE. What is it that the world does to God? It hates God. Jesus says, if they hate you, don't worry, they hated me first. Verse 21, we have the fact that they did not honor God. They did not acknowledge Him as God. They did not thank God in verse 21. And then finally, they exchanged the immortal God for images in verse 25. When you think of that section of Scripture, think of it first as a relationship between man and God. Don't read it and go, oh, those sins are bad. They're bad. But where do they start? It is literally biblical to say that you end up with drunkenness, homosexuality, and all manner of sinful things when you fail to thank God. Is God real in your life? Those pilgrims, God was real. That was not just some casual thing. They felt like to check some mark, they needed to be obedient to God, and they would say a prayer of thanks to God. They were grateful. They had seen death. They had buried their counterparts. They knew other people didn't make it. And they finally had that first harvest, and they knew they had a good chance of making the winner. They attributed that to God, and they thanked Him for it. If we don't do those things, the Bible tells us God will give us up. You don't ever want that to happen. You don't ever want to get in such a state that God says, there's no hope for you, that He'll give us up. How do we do that? By remembering Him, honoring Him, thanking Him, and acknowledging Him as God. Well, the first thing I want you to notice is the Bible is full of feasts of thanksgiving. The Bible is full of feasts of thanksgiving. That's what the Passover is. The Passover is a feast of thanksgiving. It is a remembering of what God has done and thanking Him for it. Turn to Exodus chapter 13, if you would. Exodus chapter 13, you know the story. The people of Israel are held captive by the Egyptians. They've grown into a great nation. They're 1.8 million people. And now Pharaoh does not know about Joseph. The Pharaoh that has arisen is cruel to the people. He's trying to kill the young men. He's making them work, make bricks without straw, and on and on and on and on. Well, God is going to relieve them and bring them out of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. And when He does that, He's going to make this great ceremony for the people of Israel so that He will pass over their home. Why is that important? Because God is going to enter every other home and kill the firstborn. Every firstborn in Egypt will die except those who have the blood over the doorposts, those who God will pass over. And then God will take this same people of Israel over dry ground through the Red Sea and eventually into the land of Canaan. Exodus chapter 13 is where this is found. Really, it's kind of found in two chapters in a row there. It's in Exodus chapter 12, and then 13 gives us the regulations for it as they enter the land of Canaan. Let's read verse 3, Exodus 13 and verse 3. It says, "Then Moses said to the people, 'Remember this day in which you came out of from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place.'" What is Moses saying? Moses is saying, be grateful. Remember when you get into the land of Canaan, you didn't do that. That was something that was given to you. When you walk out of Egypt and you plunder the Egyptians, when they're giving you their gold and their silver as you're leaving, remember that God did that and thank Him for it. Verse 8, not only is it something I should remember, it's something I should teach to my children. Verse 8 of Exodus 13, "You shall tell your son, on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me that I came out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign to you, as a sign on your hand and a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt." That idea of frontlets and having it on the front of your mind, you know what that was? That was a reminder for the Jews to remember what God had done. Is God setting this up for no purpose? Are the people of Israel just to go, okay, God did this thing, duly noted, I can pass the test? No. When they offer this lamb without broken bones and they offer this lamb without blemish, they are to be reminded that God saved them in a special way, and to praise Him and to thank Him for that. Have you ever had God do things in your life? You have, whether you know it or not. The old thing about the providence of God is best seen in reverse. I believe that entirely. But certainly there have been times in my life where God has put people into my life at just the right time, where He's put me in certain situations at just the right time. And in those things, when I remember what God has done to me, I should thank Him and remember that it was God that did those things, not I. Gratefulness, thankfulness is about the other, right? It's not about me. I'm not thankful to myself. I don't have the power to change things. God does. God has. God has put people in our life. This congregation is a perfect example. People ask me how we're growing. I really don't know. I mean, I can tell you what we're doing, but we've been doing the same thing for a long time. Now, yes, we have elders and we have deacons, and that has been a blessing to us. But the why of it is God. Dave Brown and Dave Musinks don't have some special powers that they're able to attract people. What they are is a sign of our obedience to God, that we have ordered ourselves in the way that God wants. We believe in the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Do I know how that works? No. But I know when it works, when it's preached. And that's all I need to know. So be thankful to God for the things we have in our life. Are you saved? Thank God. There's not a day goes by that God is not good to me. Not a day. There's not a day that goes by that God is not good to you. Assuming you're a Christian, if you've been baptized into the body of Christ, you are saved today. You are the kind of person God who will save. You have submitted to His Son. You believed in Jesus Christ. You believed in His resurrection. You've confessed Him as Lord. You've come into the body of Christ. You're going to heaven. Lose your job, stub your toe, have to go to the hospital, loved one dies, doesn't matter. Does not matter, because greater than all those things is where I'm going and the security of my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for those things. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for men and women in my life who taught me and brought me around at just the right time to become the faithful Christian that I am. Praise your name, Lord. Thank Him. That's what the people of Israel were doing. They were remembering the mighty works of God and praising His name for them. Well, in a way, we've already done a Feast of Thanksgiving here this morning. I talk all the time about verses that you use. And Scott used Hebrews chapter 9. I was excited when I heard that come out of your mouth. And then I remembered that I had the verse that so many people use in the lesson today, so we ended up using it anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to imagine that for a good, vast majority of the Lord's Suppers you've ever enjoyed, this has been the verse that was read. Well, the Lord's Supper is what? It is a feast of thanksgiving. And you may say, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, it does. Where would I be without the body of Jesus Christ? Where would I be without the blood of Jesus Christ? It is a time of memorial, yes. But I've heard people preach and teach at the Lord's table that it is a time of celebration. And I agree with that. Hey, the blood of bulls and goats could not save us. We needed the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It is a time as much of personal reflection, but it is also a time to say, thank you, Lord. Praise your name. In fact, Jesus did. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, this is Paul's account that Jesus gave him directly from Revelation of what happened on that night as he instituted the Lord's Supper. Luke also records the same phrase. In Matthew and Mark, you have the word blessed it and broke it. So the Lord had the bread, he blessed it and broke it. In Luke and in 1 Corinthians, you have the phrase gave thanks. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks. Jesus gave thanks for the bread that he had. That bread is the body that he broke on the cross. If Jesus should give thanks for the bread, should we not give thanks for the body? At the time that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he had not yet given his body in reality. It was not something to look back on and say, thank you, Lord, for. It was something to look at in reality. Now, of course, when God makes a decision, it's as good as done. But how much more so for us today should we not look back to the body Jesus broke on the cross and say, thank you, Lord. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. When I remember that Jesus' body has been broken on the cross, yes, I'm sad and I'm moved that he did that for me, but I am grateful. I am thankful that he did so. We just talked about our security. Without the body and blood of Jesus Christ, there is no security. I'd have to rely on my own ability to do right before God. There is no such thing. I do not have, nor do I want, to stand before God one day on my own merits and explain why I need to get into heaven. Because it's not happening. But I am thankful, I am grateful that Jesus broke his body. Jesus shed his blood. I'm thankful I don't live under the old covenant. Go back to something Scott said in his Lord's Supper talk. I'm glad we didn't have to sacrifice physical animals this morning. I'm glad I don't have to sacrifice physical animals all through my life. Jesus offered his body and his blood one time for all, the blood for forgiveness of sins, the blood of the new covenant. I can come to God because I believe in the Son. That's it. Do I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do I believe he's the Messiah? Do I believe he's the Son of God? Do I believe God raised him from the dead? If I can say yes to all those questions and I'm willing to serve him and confess him as my Lord, that's all I have to do. Go read the book of Exodus. Go read the book of Leviticus and compare the differences. We are truly, truly blessed, and for that we should give thanks. Well, our salvation is from God, and when we realize how much we've been blessed, it should result in our praise. We're going to go to the book of Psalm for just a moment. I mentioned earlier that the phrase give thanks was used 37 times in the book of Psalms alone. We're going to look at a couple of those places, including Psalm 22. I'm headed to Psalm 22. Because when we realize what God has done for us, it should result automatically in praise. When we understand what God has done for us, it should automatically reverberate with praise. What do I mean by that? When those Hebrews were to look back and say, God had brought them out with a mighty hand, do you think God just expected them to just read that? Do you think God just expected them to intellectually know, well, that's interesting that God brought us out from Egypt with a mighty hand? Absolutely not. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise God. Denny just got a report where he had 0.06 PSA level where he had his prostate taken out a few months ago. Praise God. Miss Hibbs' son-in-law had a bone marrow biopsy. No cancer in his system. Praise God. When we hear the mighty works of God, when we hear about the growth of this congregation, praise God. It should be on our lips. It should be on our mind. Have you ever prayed a prayer purely of thanksgiving? I have to give credit where credit is due. Terry Francis said that one time, never forgot it. It's a great exercise. When you pray to God, don't ask for anything. Don't ask for anything. Thank Him. Say a prayer of thanks. It's a great exercise. But when we realize what God has done to us, praise His name. Thank you, Lord. God is good. I know a lot of times we're uncomfortable with that language. Do you know how people at work can identify who's a Christian? First of all, they should be able to by our lives. Certainly, there's no doubt about that. But I think we think sometimes, oh, well, other people in other religious groups, they do that. We should do that. The book of Psalms declares the people of God should thank God, should praise His name. The verses I'm about to read to you are not from a denominational handbook. They're not from some psalter of the Church of England. They are the words of God recorded in the Old Testament for us to use. Psalm 22, in fact, Jesus found good use for it on the cross. You know what Psalm 22:1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that same psalm where Jesus on the cross used it as an expression of the darkest day of His life, God worked and He was praised. Psalm 22 and 23. Excuse me. Psalm 22, 19 through 23. Read the text with me. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You ever felt that way? You ever gone through life and it just seemed like your day, everywhere you turn, you're like a, oh, I can't say this, Sideshow Bob stepping on a rake? Anybody? Nobody? Man. Google Sideshow Bob stepping on a rake. Every step he takes, he steps on a rake and hits himself in the head. Steps on a rake over here, hits himself in the head. You ever felt that way? Your day is just going bad and it keeps going from bad to worse. Did you hear these words? You, O God, do not be far off. The writer of Psalms felt as if God had abandoned him. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You see the next verse. You know, the Passover reminded me of something. You know, the Lord's Supper reminded me of something. I want God to save me. I'm crying out to God. It feels like He has left me. But I remember a time when He saved me. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. When I understand what God has done for me in the past, I should expect that He can do it in the future. And then when I receive that salvation, what's my immediate impulse? What should I do immediately when God saves, when God meets my need? I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him. Stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel. For He has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden His face from him, but has heard when he cried to Him. Give thanks to God when He acts in your life. Praise His name. Two more verses from the book of Psalm. Psalm 9 and verse 1. This was our scripture reading this morning. Psalm 9 and verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Has God done good things for you before? Yes, He has. Thank Him. Praise Him. Will He do good things for you in the future? He will. Amen. Psalm 106, 1, the same phrase. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. One point I want to make before we close. Thanksgiving is faith looking back. Thanksgiving is faith looking back. I remember the mighty works of God. I remember when He brought us out of Egypt. I remember when He gave His Son. I remember when His body and blood were broken and shed. I remember those things, and by faith, I thank God. But faith that looks forward hopes. Romans chapter 6 and verse 8 through 9. Why do I hope that I'm going to heaven? Because I believe that Christ ascended. Romans 6, 8. For we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. We know Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 14. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing, not about something behind, but looking ahead, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. Why do I believe Jesus can raise me from the dead? Because I believe God raised Him from the dead. Why do I believe God has the power to do these things? Because I believe God brought the children of Israel out of the Red Sea. Why do I believe and give thanks to God for the things that have done in the past? Because I believe He has done them, He has the power to do them, and He will do them, and I entrust my life and my soul to Him, that if I die first, I, like Jesus, can be raised from the dead by the power of God through His Spirit that lives in me. Eternal life. And when you thank God and you hope for the future, praise His name. Psalm 118, 28, You are my God, I will give thanks to You. You are my God, I will extol You, I will tell others. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. The ESV there has steadfast love, the King James has mercy. His mercy is forever. Do you believe God has done great things in this world? Amen, He has. Do you believe that He will do great things for you? Amen, He will. Do you believe that He's in your life today? He is. Praise His name. Say, God is good. Say, thank You, Lord. You don't have to scream it or shout it, but something good happens in your life, prayer is answered, thank You, Lord. Because when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to do 24 hours of any day that doesn't exist, because there's going to be no day there and no night? We're going to sing praises to God. Let's tune up and be ready so that when we get there, we can join in with the great chorus of the saved. If you're not a Christian, Jesus has done things for you that you can't imagine. He has shed His blood so that you might have forgiveness, so that you might stand just before the judge of all creation. You can go before a holy God and stand not on your own righteousness, but on the blood of Jesus Christ, justified in the sight of God because of the sight of His Son. If you're not a Christian, we want you to be. Put your faith in Him. He has done, He is doing, He will do. Be baptized, be forgiven, and live a life that serves Jesus as Savior. If you serve Him, He'll save you. Come forward as we stand and we sing.